little more on, I guess, some of the details of what's been going on in my life since I left here. As Roger said, I grew up here, and I felt God calling me to make some changes in the fall of 2006. Actually, it was before then, but that's when it all happened, was fall of 2006, and I remember how hard that time was in my life. I was not looking forward to that, but I knew it had to be done because I was getting complacent, and I was becoming just okay with status quo. And so I really fought with God for a while, and then finally I gave in and just listened to God, and he's had me on an amazing journey since then. So when I left here, I went to Christ Community Church. I've been there ever since. And my goal was to take a break from ministry for a while. I'd been serving here in the youth group and the music ministry for quite some time, and my goal was to take a break. And so I left here, I think it was like September or October, and I think by January I was going on a youth retreat. So I didn't have much of a break from ministry. I kind of jumped right back in. I had met the youth pastor there at the time, who's a good friend of mine, Mark McCutcheon, and he suckered me into going on a winter retreat with their youth group. So I continued to volunteer with the youth group after that. About 6 months went by of just volunteering, and the middle school pastor at the time left. And so I just said, you know, if there's any way that I can help out, just let me know. And so they called me in, and the executive pastor called me in, and he says, so, you know, we'd like you to work part-time here. I said, okay. Well, I was working at that time with Eric Fox at Champ Sports. He was the manager. I was assistant manager there. And I said, Eric, hey, you know, I have this opportunity to go work at a church for at least a short time with youth ministry. And so we made that work. Well, about 2 weeks into that, they said, well, we really would like you to be full-time until we can find this next guy. So I said, okay, well, God, I guess if this is what you want, you know, you'll have to make it work out. And so once again, I talked to Eric, and, you know, we just kind of prayed about it and decided this was, you know, this is God leading me down the path that he wanted me to follow. And so that turned into a 3-year internship where during that time I met my wife. Yep. I can share that story another time, but let's just say we didn't hit it off right away. That's all right. And so after that internship was done, I was looking for jobs. As any, you know, intern, someone who just graduated from college does, I was looking for jobs. And so I had actually two opportunities come up at about the same time. There was one in St. Paul at a Christian and Missionary Alliance church there, and they were offering part-time, and there was one that came open at Christ Community because another middle school pastor had left. And so, it was, you know, God calling me back to Christ Community again and just kind of reaffirming that was where he wanted me. And so I started there as a middle school pastor in the fall of 2010, and I've been there ever since. And we're currently going through some changes. We just hired a new pastor of student ministries, so my boss, but we're redoing things. I'm not the middle school pastor anymore. I get to work with all the age groups, which I'm really excited about because, I would say what we're trying to do is build a team that operates based on our gifts. And so I love middle schoolers, but I think my gifts lead me to be someone who wants to work with all age groups. So I'm really excited about that. Another thing that happened recently, just the January of this year, was I got licensed, so I can do weddings and stuff like that now, as a pastor in the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And I have to deal with this pastor tax stuff. I don't know, I might need some help with that. But it is really amazing to me that I have an entire denomination, a large organization standing behind me saying, we affirm your call to ministry as a minister of the gospel. I know I've always had a lot of people from this church and from other, from Christ Community Church, but it's amazing when a group of people who don't know me have to interview me, which is quite intense in and of itself, and they say, yeah, we affirm your call to ministry. So I'm humbled by that, and I'm excited, anyway, so that's probably more than you wanted to know about me, but that's all right, it'll give you a little context. Today, what I would like to do is I'd like to talk about legacy. So you can see up there we have The scripture we're going to be in, Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8. We're going to be a little bit before we get there, but talking about choosing your legacy. And I thought it was appropriate on Mother's Day, and I'm going to try to get through this without being emotional. I can't guarantee anything for my mom. But I wanted to talk about the legacy that my mom has left in my life. All right? So before we do that, let's just go ahead and pray. God, thanks for this day, and thank you for who you are. And thank you for being a God who's left an incredible legacy with your people. God, you are so good and so awesome. And God, we hope that we can be like you in that area, to leave a good legacy, to leave a God-focused legacy. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your grace. We just ask that you'd be with us in this time. Amen. All right. So my mom left a legacy with me. And there's four things that I wanted to talk about. I forget I got to use this thing. There's a little picture. That was when I was cute and had hair. And I had hair. I think there's an 8-track player in the background. I'm not quite sure. It's at least a tape player. Anyway. So my mom, there's a few things that my mom has left a legacy in my life. One of the ways that she's left a legacy is in her commitment to her marriage with my dad. Wow. What? She's trying to say something. Anyways, okay, so my mom and dad were married for 34 years. 34, right? Before dad passed away. And I can tell you something, those 34 years weren't easy. They weren't easy for me as a kid growing up. And so when I asked Malia's dad to marry her, he said to me, I know, your dad was married once before. He said, I need to know what your views on divorce are, as any good father should, or father-in-law should. I want to make sure that when I give you my daughter, you're not trying to give her back to me. So so I need to know what your views on divorce are, because he said, I know your dad was divorced once before. And I said, look, I said, you're absolutely right. My dad was divorced once before. And you know what? My parents' marriage, because of just life, is messy and tough. My parents' marriage wasn't always easy. A lot of times I didn't know what was going to happen, but I said their commitment to me through all that junk and garbage and all the struggles, that is what makes a difference. That's what makes me know that I can get through anything with my wife. And so that's, I think I'm going to not get through all four of these. I might just get through one of them. But that's part of the legacy that my mom has left to me. Another thing was that my mom left a legacy of hard work. When I was growing up, we didn't have a lot of money. And so I remember it was always mom who would pick up an extra job if she needed to. It was always mom who was volunteering at church, doing stuff around the house, making sure I had food and clothing. So she left a legacy in working hard. I'm going to go quick through these last two. My mom has left a legacy in kindness. Seriously, I challenge you to find a kinder person. Trust me, I tried to push every button I could growing up, and it was hard to get her mad. So kind and so giving. She would just bless your socks off. She would never turn anyone down. I mean, I remember, like, we had friends live with us. We had people live with us, like, she was always giving, always so incredibly kind. And that's part of the legacy that she's left in my life. She's also left me a legacy in faith, which is probably the most important thing. If you want to know what a praying woman looks like, that's my mom. I remember seeing books that she would read, you know, The Power of a Praying Wife and stuff like that. And I'm like, why are you reading the book? You could write the book. So she left a legacy in faith. She knows what the Bible says. And more importantly, she lives out to the best of her abilities what the Bible says. And that's so incredibly important. And that's part of the legacy that my mom has left with me. Made it through that part. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Love you. Wait, that's not it. All right, the point of all that is that we all leave a legacy. Every single one of us. Whether we realize it or not, whether we think about it on a day-to-day basis, we all leave some kind of a legacy. The question then becomes, what will your legacy be? What will your legacy be when people look back on your life? And more importantly, when you look back on your life, what will your legacy be? All right, there's three types of legacies that I'd like to talk about this morning. The first type of legacy is not one that we want to leave. The first type of legacy is a toxic legacy, And we all know people who leave legacies like this. I can, off the top of my head, without even thinking about it, think of several people who I know who are in the process of leaving a toxic legacy. All right, they're known for destruction. They push people away. They don't repair relationships when they're damaged, but they keep people at arm's length. They never build anything. They never stick with anything. They're destructive, and they leave a wake of hurting people in their trail. Those kind of people are not ones that we want to be. That's not the type of legacy that we want to leave. Now, depending on the day and your sleep to coffee ratio or whatever gets you going in the morning, you know, you may have bad days or bad weeks or bad months or bad years. I'm not talking about the short term. I'm talking when you look back at the whole picture of your life, what is the legacy that you're leaving? Because if I was evaluated on one day or one year or possibly even one decade, maybe my legacy would be toxic. Maybe yours would too. But the question is, when you get to the end of your life and you look back, what type of legacy will you be leaving? Let's not get bent out of shape about the bad days. Those days when we roll out of bed and we just didn't sleep well. We didn't have enough coffee. Whatever it may be. But we do not want to be people who look back and say, I left a toxic legacy. I have no one around me. No one close. We want to be people who don't leave a toxic legacy. The second one, and this is probably the worst in my mind. I think if you're going to be bad, if you're going to do, you might as well just go all out, right? But this next one is a meh legacy. I don't know what else to call it. A meh legacy. Remembered for and unfortunately, I think this is probably the biggest category of people. Why? Because as human beings, we like to take the path of least resistance. Why? Because it takes work to leave a solid legacy, a faithful legacy. It's not easy. And so a lot of people fall into this because, well, we want to keep people peaceful with us. We want to have good relationships. We never want to offend anyone. But that comes at the cost of not standing up for things that we should or standing for the wrong thing because we want to keep the peace. Legacy building is hard work. And to build a tough legacy, or to build a solid legacy, sometimes you're going to need to stand up against things that are wrong, and that's going to make people angry. Sometimes you're going to need to stand up for what's right, and that's also going to make people angry. We see this all the time as believers. We see this in issues like abortion and gay marriage and all the hot button issues. We see this all the time. As Christians, as we're trying to stand up for what we believe in, we're being attacked because we're not tolerant. That's just the way it is. But that's because a lot of us are saying, we're not just going to be okay with that meh legacy. That so-so, I never really did anything important type of legacy. And the third legacy where we're going to spend most of our time today is a God-focused legacy. A legacy that's remembered for eternity. Believe it or not, because of the legacy my mom had in my life, I get to stand here in front of you this morning and to preach. That's her legacy. I get to speak weekend after weekend at my church and minister to kids because of my mom's influence in my life. And so her legacy is going to be remembered for eternity. Why? Because every person who comes to Christ under my ministry can trace that back to my mom, can trace that back to my parents, my grandparents. It's going to be remembered for eternity. It's important. People that leave a God-focused legacy, a couple people that come to mind, Peter, Paul, Stephen, one of my favorites from the book of Acts. I mean, these are the type of people who are doing big stuff for God. So, a God-focused legacy. The good news in all this legacy talk between these three choices is that you get to choose what type of legacy you'll leave. You get to choose if you want to leave that toxic legacy. You have that right. I don't recommend it, but you have the right. You get to choose whether you want a so-so legacy, a meh legacy, where you're not going to be remembered for anything. Or you get to choose whether you'll have a God-focused legacy. And I guarantee you, the last one, when you get to the end of your life and look back, that's going to be the best choice. Let's get into our scripture a little bit this morning. Some things to consider when we choose a legacy. Psalm 78, verses 1 through 3. Let's take a look. Here we go, sorry. Getting out of order. So the first thing that we want to talk about is choosing a legacy with intentionality. Choosing a legacy with intentionality. So now let's take a look at our scripture. It says, "My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us." This is a psalm of Asaph. Asaph is reminding these people that he's talking to about the goodness of God and the mercies of God on the Israelites all throughout history. All right, and so what he does is he says, "My people, listen up. Gather close. What I'm going to tell you is important." He's being strategic in the way that he's presenting these stories of God's faithfulness. He's got a point. He's got a purpose. And he's going to make sure that these people hear what he has to say because it's important for their life. Okay? So listen to the words of my mouth. I'll open my mouth. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you some things that you know. And I might tell you some things that you didn't know. All right, but what I have to say is important. He's being very, very strategic, very, very intentional. Now, here's the thing. This is where I run into problems with legacy, with this thought of, what am I going to be remembered for? I'm not very intentional. I am totally okay with the fly-by-the-seat-of-my-pants kind of approach to things and conversations. Like, I just want to shoot the breeze and kind of not get to the deep stuff a lot of times, not get to the meaningful conversations, not dive into these deep and hidden and things that really matter. Why? Because, you know what, I'm on the path at that point to leaving that meh legacy. I don't want to alienate anyone. I don't want to turn anyone off. I don't want to hold anyone at arm's length. So I just stay on shallow things. And that's probably where I get myself in a lot of trouble. And I would say that maybe a lot of us find ourselves in trouble at that spot because we do want to just have good relationships without conflict, without drama. But sometimes we have to dive in, and sometimes what we say has to be meaningful, has to be purposeful. And I think if we would start to approach our conversations every day with everyone we come in contact with from this perspective, listen, I'm going to say things that are important. Okay, not to say you can't make small talk ever, but I'm going to be real with you. I'm going to talk to you about things that really matter. I'm going to talk to you about things that will change your life. I'm going to talk to you about God. I'm going to talk to you about His mercy that's carried me my whole life. That's what Asaph is doing here. He is reminding these people of God's mercies all the way through their history. And they needed a reminder. If you guys remember, the Israelites, they weren't the most intelligent people. All right, like, repeatedly, we go to God. Oh, we're going to get away from God. We don't really like what he's doing. This is the cycle of go to God, turn away from God, go to God. But you know what? The rest of us are like that too. It's really easy to point and say, oh, looking back at history, the Israelites, man, they made some poor choices. Well, yeah. We're all there as well. So Asaph is moving past shallow conversations into things that really matter. He's being intentional. We need to learn to be more intentional with the conversations that we have and the way we live our lives so that people can see Christ in us at all times. Next, we're going to choose a legacy of celebrating God's work and will. Choose a legacy of celebrating God's work and will. Take a look at the scripture. It says, "We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children." So the next generation would know them, and even the children yet to be born. And they turn in, they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commandments. So Asaph is telling the good deeds of what God had done. He's remembering the good things. He's reminding these people of the good things that he's done. And here's what I picture when I picture this. I picture a little conversation. A bunch of people could be, I picture sitting around a fire. I like sitting around fires. So I picture Asaph having a conversation with some people that are close to him. And he's saying, "You know what? There's a lot of things going on here. You're starting to follow the path that our descendants have followed. And you're starting to whine and complain. And you're starting to get angry with God. You're starting to get bitter. But let me just remind you of some things." And then he goes into the stories of God's faithfulness. Stories of things possibly like Abraham. And actually, later in this chapter, we're not going to get there, but he talks about the goodness of God by sending Moses to the Israelites while they're in captivity in Egypt. 400 years they've been in captivity in Egypt. And they're treated like animals. And God sends a deliverer. God sends Moses to rescue, to lead his people out of Egypt. And we need reminders like that sometimes. We need reminders because we tend to begin to take things for granted, just like the Israelites did. We tend to forget God's part in things. That's why these stories, these biblical stories that we've heard hundreds, perhaps thousands of times, are so important, because in them we see God's faithfulness and his goodness to his people. So Asaph chooses to celebrate the legacy of God's work and God's will. You can see it all over. His fingerprints are all over the story of the Israelites. And there are countless stories, aren't there? If we go back and we look at Scripture, so many good things that God did for his people. So Asaph chooses a legacy of celebrating what God has done in the lives of the Israelites so that this younger generation would follow God and not forget his commands and good work. Next thing that we're going to take a look at, this third and final thing, is to choose a legacy of faithfulness to God. To choose a legacy of faithfulness to God. Let's take a look at the scripture. "They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him." Once again, there's that warning. There's that warning of, don't turn down that path. Don't go that direction. That direction is going to lead to a toxic legacy. That's what's being established here. That's what Israel had to fight off time and time again, was that toxic legacy. And it was generations. If you remember, like when Israel made a mistake, it was generations before they recovered. That's a toxic legacy that takes a long time to rebound from. So here's what I'd like to say about that. Don't copy most of your ancestors. These people are careless with their legacy. So just being real with you, it's really easy for me to think back. I know Scripture well enough to think back and look at how good God has been to his people and has been to me. You know, I know my life. I know there are many times where I could have gone down a wrong path, taken a wrong turn, and somehow God kept me on the straight and narrow. All right, I remember that. But another place where I struggle, where I fall, is carelessness. Careless people lead others away from God instead of developing a legacy of faithfulness to God. Careless people, why? Because there's not attention and focus. We're not thinking of our interactions with other people as them really seeing Jesus in us, which is what we want them to see. Careless people lead people away from God instead of leading people to God. So the question is, as we look up here and we see the chains on the corners, every one of us is a link. Every one of us is a link there. All right? So the question then becomes, what's the missing link? What's your missing link? I want to make this personal this morning. Okay? What's your missing link? All right? Three things here. One, is it a lack of effort and focus? Is it a lack of effort and focus? This is what we started out by talking about. This is what we started out by talking about. Choosing a legacy with intentionality. Are you intentional about the conversations that you have? Parents, are you intentional about the conversations that you have with your children? Do you know that they're picking up on everything that you do and everything that you say? Research has been done, and it's showing that even though, like in larger churches especially, we face this, but what we've done in a lot of these larger churches is we've said, we're going to create silos. And in these silos, we're going to put age groups. And we're going to split everyone up. Why? Because we can teach them at their level. Okay? Now, this is a problem in our church. All right? Now, it's good because, right, when we're teaching and stuff like that, and, you know, and a baby cries or someone fusses or something, you know, that's a distraction. Right? But the key here is we're taking the influence of parents away from kids. And unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, but research is showing that still, even though parents, you may not know this until years after they're out of the house, you mean more to your kids' development than you'll ever even know. Kids, you're not going to admit this. I guess I don't know how many of you are still in house. But I didn't want to admit this when I was growing up. I love my parents, but... like, I don't want to admit that they're influencing me that strongly, right? But parents, you are the biggest influencers of your kids. They're picking up everything that you do. It's funny, I was looking at some YouTube clips for this, and it was, have you ever seen the ones where they're like these two dads, but then they do, like, two dads who do, like, there's one clip where they do a cooking show, and then it's like little girls' voiceovers. Have you ever seen that? And it's so great. It's kids are watching all that stuff. They're watching you every single moment when you're in the kitchen, when you are cooking, or when you're servicing your car. They're watching your interactions with the people that are working there. They're sponges. They're sucking up all of that information. So it's so important that parents especially, but all of us as Christ followers, as people who want to represent Christ well, put the appropriate effort and focus into leaving a good legacy. Our job is to make him famous. We want that to be our legacy. The second missing link that maybe some of us have is a lack of knowing God's story. All right? I don't know most of you, or I don't know a lot of you. I do know most of you, but I don't know where you're at. I don't know how much scripture you know. I don't know if you know that God has been faithful throughout all generations. You need to know that. You need to know how good God has been. And there's something that's really, really important here. We used to have a saying around Christ Community at our youth group that said, don't read the Bible, study the Bible. And on the surface, that looks really good, right? In thinking about it, here's the deal. We have an issue getting people, kids especially, into the Word at all. And so when you jump from reading the Bible to studying the Bible, a lot of the kids are like, study? That's what I do in school. I don't want to do that with the Bible. And I'm telling you today, listen, if you're struggling to study the Bible, if you think that's what's required of you, just read it. You will find every type of literature in there. You will find drama. You will find wars. You will find amazing stories, amazing warriors. Every type of literature. If you've ever read Ted Decker or Frank Peretti, they have nothing on what the Bible has to offer. Why? Because that's the story of God. And read that story, and don't just read it. Put yourself in it. Put yourself in that story. When the Israelites are being led out of Egypt, what would it have been like to be there that day? Or those days, those times? To see firsthand what God was doing after 400 years of being treated like animals. What would that have been like? And then remember your own life. Remember how good God's been to you. Remember the times where it seemed like maybe God was absent, where you were questioning God, where you were angry because something happened that you weren't okay with. Remember how he brought you back. Remember to know God's story. Know his story. Know his faithfulness. Know his deeds. Know his love, his attributes. Another note on that, something that will help you. If you didn't tell, or if you couldn't tell where you came this morning, you came into a church. And so they have other ways to help you to get plugged in so that you can know God's story. All right, I still meet with Roger somewhat regularly. It's been regular at times and irregular at other times. But this is a church, knowing that I grew up in this church, there are people here who love to mentor people, who love to care about other people, who know the Bible well. So if you're here and you're not plugged into something, ask the question. Ask Roger, ask Charlie, ask Sue, whoever, any of these people. If you don't know, come talk to me afterwards, and I'll get you plugged in with one of these people. All right? They know God's story. They know how good he is, and they want you to know that as well. The third missing link is a lack of modeling faith and sacrifice. A lack of modeling faith and sacrifice. You know, not everyone was as fortunate as I was to grow up with parents who loved Jesus. Some of you come from backgrounds where no one in your life has ever pointed you in the right direction. And maybe by chance you find yourself here today. It's important that we have in our lives people who model faith and sacrifice for us. If you did find yourself by chance here today, you came to a good place because there are a lot of people here who want to model that for you. As I mentioned, my mom modeled faith and sacrifice. There were days, man, I mean, married people, you know this. You just wonder, how am I going to make it? But there's sacrifice. It's important that we have people in our lives who model this for us. Asaph was that person in this story, in these verses. He was that person that was saying, before you get too far off track, let me just remind you where we've been. We've been down this road. We've been down this road of we're going to turn our backs on God because we think we can do it better. And he says, no, hold on. Come back. Bring it back. Let me remind you of some things. So he's modeling faith and sacrifice for these people. In closing, I want to just ask another question to you. If everyone treated their legacy like I do, or like you do, what would the world look like? Would we have people who are intentional and focused on building a God-sized legacy? Or would we have a bunch of people, a whole world full of ho-hum, whatever happens, happens type of people? That's an important question that each one of us needs to answer. Because we're sent here as believers, we believe that we have a mission. We believe that we have a goal. God has put us on this earth for a reason. Yes, it's to worship God and to love God and to join in community, but there's also a lot of people out there who are hurting, who need someone to be focused on them, someone with a God-sized legacy, someone who's willing to have conversations that are uncomfortable, someone who are willing to take the risk of standing up for something, of believing in something. There are a lot of hurting people out there. I have so many kids that have not had parents who modeled this for them. I was talking to Steve Lee before this, and he was talking about how many kids they have in the youth group right now who didn't grow up in a family. He said, I don't remember the words he used, but he was talking about a family that is just chaotic, where there's no support. Kids probably go home at night, and maybe they don't know if they're getting anything to eat. They don't know if they have, they don't know. And there are a room full of people here who can do something about that. Maybe you're not called to reach kids. Maybe you're called to reach your coworkers. What kind of a legacy are you leaving for them? Is it a ho-hum legacy that I just want to keep the peace and never stand up for anything? Or is it a legacy of, look, I'm gonna live my life and I'm going to do my job with integrity. And I'm going to represent Jesus. So if the world, if everyone in the world treated their legacy like you do or like I do, what would the world look like? What would our churches and families look like? I don't want you to be scared of that question. You shouldn't be scared of that question. But what you should do is take an honest time to look at your life and evaluate what your legacy is saying about you. What your legacy, more importantly, is saying about God. If you're sitting here and you're saying, you know, I'm really not sure that my legacy says anything good about me or about God. I'm not sure that if I got to the end of my life and I looked back, that there would really be anyone there with me to celebrate my life, to remember the good things that have happened. Guess what? God has a plan for you. And today is a day where you can make that change. Today is that day where you can make that change. The key here is that you have to be willing to make that change. You have to be willing to own up and say, look, I've fallen short in these areas. One of those missing links, or two of those, or all of those missing links, that's me. And I would encourage you to do that, to just take some time to reflect on your life, what your life is saying about you, what your life is saying about God, and be honest. Are you ready to ask him to help you change? Are you ready to have a God-focused legacy? Today can be that day. Remember, as we close, all of us choose a legacy. What will you choose? Let's pray. God, this is huge. This is so huge. Because you've called all of us to be people who go into the world to make you famous, and in doing that, to build a God-sized legacy. God, we just ask that you help all of us to evaluate our lives, to evaluate the path that we're on, and to focus, to be intentional, to remember your goodness. God, to build a legacy that is honoring to you. God, empower us. We can't do it on our own. These things, it's much easier for us to not ever think about them. But God, you've called us to be people who are intentional, who are strategic, who live out a purpose. So God, we ask you to help us with that. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for every person here. I pray that they would leave today not dreading this question, God, but excited to follow you down this path. In Jesus' name, amen.